Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 95 is on its way. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. We are also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. As you may have heard, we went to Dice Tower Con. That was our last episode, 94. So we did a little kind of talk through of what we did there, Kathy and I did, and then we reviewed Disney World, because we got to go to Disney World. It was Kathy and Zephyr's first time. And my fifth time to Disney. I am your host, The Brant, and I'm excited to bring you episode 95, which is entitled, Hi, I'm Holding for General Hux. So that is that crazy, silly line. I think it's almost the opening line in Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. That's kind of the line that told you, this is going to be kind of a silly movie. So Poe Dameron there is kind of listening to the general scream at him and then just kind of cracking some jokes. And so that, the reason I picked that one was I was kind of like, that's kind of the line that sets up that episode to let you know, like, this is going to be an okay Star Wars. But it's a Star Wars nonetheless, and you want to see it. I know people pan the movie. I think they're all fun. I love the original ones. I like the new ones. They're all good. The first three are so good. They're amazing movies. And the other ones are just fun additions to the collection. I don't mind seeing additional things happen. Anyway, my point being to that is I am going to give you a list. It's not a top 10 because I got more than 10, but it is a list of these are my top don't miss okay games. I don't know if I ever came up with a great title for that, but these are games that you want to go back and play them, but they weren't amazing games. These weren't like the top games in their year. They wouldn't be on my top 100. They might be on somebody else's top 100, but probably not. But they're games that if you haven't played them, I highly suggest giving them a play. They may become one of your favorites. And they're ones, you know, even okay games are great if you're really into the hobby. That sounds bad. That sounds like if we're into the hobby, we'll play anything. But there's so many games that are good. People love to see people, you know, diss games and give them a bad review, and they try to find the reason they don't like a game. But inherently, even if a game has one or two mechanisms that just don't jive or a scoring thing that doesn't work, I still enjoy the game. I still like games. So these are games that didn't wow me, and I'm not dying to pull them off the shelf, but you want to go back and play those. May sound a little bit funny, I'm actually driving right now from beautiful East Hampton, Connecticut, up to Manchester, Connecticut. I am not headed to the store. I am headed to the library event with the board game librarian, Jen Bartlett, to teach and play the once-a-month library there. I believe I'm teaching Heaven and Ale, and this is the weekend before Kennerspiel gets announced, which Heaven and Ale is up for, and I think it's the one I'm pushing for out of those. I didn't play Quacksalber. That one might be really good, so I guess it's kind of unfair. And I've played Gun Sean Clever, and it's clever, but it's okay. It's good. It's fun. It's a roll and write, but there's nothing there that wows me, but Heaven and Ale definitely wows me, so that's what I'm pulling for. So we're doing that. We're doing Istanbul Dice. We're doing Jurassic Park Danger. And Lisboa, I believe, is the fourth one. Lisboa is by far my favorite of those titles. If you haven't played Lisboa, play Lisboa. It's excellent. Be ready for a 2.5-3 hour Euro. Brain burn. But it's awesome. It's really, really good. It's my favorite. Vital Lacerda. So, yes, I'm driving there, so you'll have to let me know. I'm watching my channels here peak, so it's probably going to be very loud. I'm very loud to begin with. But it's the best I can do. And this may end up being a clip show if I have to stop for various things. It'll be an all-Brant clip show. All right. So we'll see how this goes. But I think it's going to be a fun episode. I'm excited to talk about a bunch of stuff. I've been playing. So I do have a lot of recently played games that I'm not going to review and recount and etc. here, because I played them with Brian and Kathy. I don't know that we're going to do another Three of Us episode, but I at least want to talk through those with them. Other upcoming things, I'm not even going towards the... Oh, I got to go to the store. Okay, so first off, if you're in the area and you haven't been to the Portal in a little while, or actually within a week, we've totally redone a whole bunch of stuff. So I've gone over there, Brian's been over there, we've been doing a whole bunch of help from other people. We got a whole new stock of games that we put in. Some old and new favorites are up there, available for purchase. So if you've been looking for things and haven't been there, or the supply has looked a little bit low, you know, we've revamped that. I went through myself and was like, hey, we've got Ashes expansions, no Ashes base game. We've got, we don't have a copy of Seven Wonders. We don't have Terra Mystica. We don't have Gaia Project, whatever. We found those big hits. I know these are hits for me, you know, even hits for other people as well. We need the Raiders of the North Sea expansions, whatever. Went through and kind of ordered all that stuff to make sure we had everything. And then as well as the library, went and picked through the 650 games and pared it back to about 450 games, which I loved because we got games off the top of the shelf where they're sliding all around, they're all over each other, etc., etc., and I was able to move them back in. Hey, I may have pulled a game that you were waiting to play off the shelf, but, you know, c'est la vie, it's been there for 4 or 5 years. If you haven't played it by now, that's how it goes. And then I made a whole display. If you have checked out Twitter, we made a whole display of demo games new to us, new to the store, or just popular titles or favorites or whatever, and new games. We just got a demo copy of Raids that we have in from Yellow, so that's up there. That's exciting. And Junk Orbit is there. As well as others. So I may start kind of announcing some of those things. I know there's lots of people that listen to this that are not anywhere near the store, and I think that's fine. I think that's fun, and it'll just be a short clip. Hey, if you ever make your way to the New England area, definitely check us out. Hit me up on Twitter, and I can try to be around the store when you're doing that or whatever. But yeah, so that's kind of new in the store. I'm excited about that as well as a lot of other things that I think are going to be happening post-Gen Con. We're going to have some good conversations at Gen Con with some publishers and, other things. Equipment for the store. I don't know what you would call it. Tables and whatnot that we'll try to get in there. So, yeah, that's what's on the horizon. We're going to Gen Con. So we're like a week out, week and a half out from leaving. I'm going to be working the Dice Tower booth and the Jack Vassell Memorial Fund booth as well. So if you're going to be at Gen Con, you can catch up with me there. I'll be there, a few hours each day at either one of those two booths. And then I'm just going to be running around demoing games and picking up games and playing stuff. I didn't go to Gen Con last year, so I'm excited for this year, making the drive out. I actually love the drive out. It's like 12 to 14 hours. It's me, Brian, Larry, who's been on the podcast, and Gary Pope is driving over with us. And we just chat about all the games and everything that's going on for 12 hours. And that sounds exhausting, and it's like the best trip. It's so much fun. Leaving our kids behind, our families, like just to hang out for a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong, I am homesick by Saturday. If you see me on Saturday at Gen Con, I'm usually mourning. So I definitely miss my family. But, you know, just that road trip where you're not worried about all those pieces can be nice. And just chatting about, you know, everybody's into the hobby and we're all, you know, lining everything up. I've already spreadsheeted everything out. I'm a huge nerd on that front, I know. So we're going to be doing that. So we may do a pre-Gen Con episode. I've never really done it. I think I did like a love letter last year and I listed out a bunch of games I was interested in. Sip of Mountain Dew here. But I don't know if we've done a full-on one. So we may sneak that in for you to have something. I got slow on getting the Dice Tower Con episode out, and I'm kind of a week behind. I may try to double up somewhere. And people seem to keep listening, so I keep putting these out, and people want to listen. When I put two episodes in a week, people listen to it. So I keep going with that system. I'm trying to hold the one a week. I usually miss a week a month, just out of whatever. But 4 out of 5 ain't bad. So that's where at. So yeah. We're going to be at Gen Con. We're going to be there Tuesday through Sunday. So, yeah, find us Tuesday. Actually, no, we're not going to be there Tuesday. We're going to drive all day Tuesday and get in for dinner time. And then Wednesday, I'm going to be helping in the exhibitor booth to set up. I think Dice Tower is going to be mostly set up, so I may go around and help some other people that I know set up booths and whatnot. And then, yeah, we'll be playing some games, and then Thursday comes, and the madness begins, and we'll be around. I'll be at the Dice Tower live show. Not sure what I'm doing for that, not too much, but I'll be there. And just around Gen Con. We usually park ourselves in the huge hall at night, kind of over towards the bathrooms against the wall, so that's kind of our spot that we have found over the years. Yeah, and if you've never been to Gen Con and you're thinking of going, like, you could totally play games at Gen Con. People love to diss that and say you can't play games there, but we never have an issue. The BGG Hot Games Room is supposedly very good, as I've heard. Get in there, you have to pay tickets. It's like $2 for 2 hours or something, but whatever. It's a buck an hour. You can play all sorts of stuff. Demo in the hall. Yeah, the demoing could be better. I admit that's always the toughest. Like, you're waiting and you're like, am I next? Am I not next? When's this game over? How long is this demo? And then you decide, ah, eye candy, I'll move on to the next thing. But then at night, once that demo hall closes, like, we just play, and I think we've been moved like once, and we've been told we probably want to move because the game was going to be very loud that was next to us, but all that was fine. So yeah, anyway, let's move on from all of that. So then we'll have a post-Gen Con episode, as we always do, driving home. Last year, that was Gary and Larry did that episode for me because I was not there. So that's how we did that. Okay, let's get in. So some games I played the other day with Brian that will be coming up. We played Century Eastern Wonders. We played Montana. We played something else exciting that we played. I played Junk Orbit. I played... what else did I play at the store? There was something else. They played Senshi. We played Paper Tales. There. Oh, I need to review Paper Tales. I gotta do that soon. I'll do that one with Kathy. So I got those in, and then last night, Kathy and I played Lowlands, and I'm not one for, like, oh, I need multiple plays. I totally understand why people want to do multiple plays for the more thorough reviews. There are people who do some very thorough reviews, and that's awesome. I am definitely more in the Tom Vassell camp, which I think he plays games multiple times. Whatever, I'm not going to get into all that. But I'm much more in the, like, try to play every game camp. So I play everything once rather than play a few things seven times. That's just me. That's what I'm going to do. So, but Lowlands, we want to give another play. Doesn't mean good or bad. Not saying either on that. But we just want to give it another play. We don't feel like our first play was really the best one. For multiple reasons. We are actually also distracted, so those things. We're going to give that another play, and we'll review that. So those are some upcoming games I'm excited to talk about. All right, what am I going to actually talk about that's been on my table? I picked up, at Dice Tower Con, I picked up a copy of Knoxford from Quick Simple Fun Games. Knoxford is a little, like, card game. It's not few cards. Everybody has a deck of, like, 10, I want to say. And that's your syndicate. And then there's, like, a central deck of, I don't know, maybe another 10 cards or so, maybe 12 cards. So, you know, four players, it's like a 52-card deck. It's like your standard deck of cards. So what's happening in this game? It's kind of area control, high take that, and it's kind of a steampunk, and you are crime syndicates trying to steal stuff from this city, a very Victorian-esque city. And so on your turn, you could play a card to the city from the center row, where there's kind of like Ticket to Ride style cards out there that build the city, or you can play one of your syndicate cards. When you play a syndicate card, they have numbers. They're like 1, 2, 3, 4. And if I play a 2, I can play it over somebody's 1, so I can cover one of their characters. Otherwise, I play a card. You don't play them like next to each other evenly. You play it like, so it has to be touching two cards, and a corner has to be touching. Hard to explain on podcast. Really simple if you were playing it. You'd be like, oh, okay. It basically has to touch two cards. So they all end up kind of, you know, not directly adjacent to each other. They're slightly off when you're playing all these cards and building the city. So then if a card gets surrounded on all four sides, it doesn't actually have to be completely surrounded. But if it has cards on all four sides, it is now locked and it can't be moved or anything. Or you can't play a card over it. So you're trying to do that and lock in some of your things. And then there are cards that have a little gear symbol, and when you play one of those, you get to move another card. So you can move any unlocked card anywhere else. As well as there are some army barracks that come out, or just barracks, I think they're called. They must be police barracks, I guess. And if you place those adjacent to other players or your own, those cards get flipped before final scoring. So it goes until somebody runs their deck out of cards, which is like 10. You also have your like level 4 that you can play at any time. It's not in your deck, and you can cover other people, and it counts twice in the final scoring. And then you just you flip all the cards over that are adjacent to the barracks, and then you just count every card, and you say, how many do you have adjacent? How many do you have? And whoever has the most cards adjacent gets that card. If it's a tie, it goes to nobody. The cards have various numbers of symbols on them, which is the number of points. And then those symbols are like factories and booze and things that you would be stealing or that your syndicate would be interested in. So they're all worth points, and then each faction has something they favor. So you get a bonus point for every card that has that symbol or every symbol, whatever it is. You just add up your points, you get a few points. I picked it up for $3. There's no way I can complain at $3. Like, it is not a bad game. It's a really fun game. I really enjoyed it. It was pretty light, but thinky. It's really take that. That moving cards and those barracks really make it harsh. So, yeah, planning is tough. The odds that you're going to put a good card out and then get it surrounded by your next turn without somebody messing with you are low. But whatever. You know, it was still really fun. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was definitely a worthy filler. You really should be able to play the game in about 15 minutes. I played one 4-player game that lasted like 45 minutes. It felt a little long to me, but it was fine. So yeah, that's Knoxford from Quick Simple Fun Games. All right, Kathy and I played Prowler's Passage. I may let her review this as well. So this is Renegade Games and J. Alex Cavern. J. Alex Cavern, who makes World's Fair, that I love. That game is amazing. Then Sentient, we weren't big fans of that. I know people really like that game. It's a beautiful game. It looks great. The dice are beautiful in that, but it just wasn't our favorite. So Prowler's Passage is a 2-player only game. You are both thieves trying to go through the city and steal stuff. This must be my thief episode. Maybe I should have done something with Scoundrel for the title. So you're working your way through there, and every turn you're placing little passages down, and then you'll collect tokens, and it's basically set collection on this map. And you're trying to extend your passage to score points, collect these tokens, and then where you place your passage will be between two sections of the city. And you'll kind of, there's like a push-pull mechanism for control of those regions. So there's the, you know, the market region and the political region, et cetera, et cetera. And you're trying to gain control of those things on a push-pull mechanism. There's two scorings in the game, and each scoring it'll be what are you in control of and how does that score. So for example, the luxury or wealth district or whatever it was just straight up gives you 5 points, and then it gives you a point for every yellow token that you've collected, which are the wealth money tokens. So you could go that route and be like, all right, I'm gonna collect all those tokens and I'm gonna get yellow and I get a lot of points off of that. And there's other things that allow you to manipulate and whatnot. So we played the game, it was like 15 minutes, and the score was like 97, 93. I don't have my app open, so I'm not sure exactly what it was. And that was cool that it was close, but I just had this feeling. Now, I've only played it once, so I'm always careful on that front, although, see 5 minutes ago when I said I don't think once is bad to be able to talk about a game, because initial impressions are important too. It's super point salady, and I don't really know that my decisions were ever clever. By no means is this a bad game. It is a solidly designed game. But I don't know how interested I am in like, should I go there and take that token so that you can't complete your set? Or should I go here and take this token so I can complete my set? Now, there's obviously other things weighing into that, and so you've got multiple things, which definitely makes it you think. So, was I clever? Yeah, but the score didn't make me feel very clever. I didn't get a sense that this game would ever be 100 to 40. Like, oh, I totally skunked you. Or 120 to 40. Like chess, where I just take somebody out, you know? But that's okay. Like, even Patchwork, which I think is really a well-done 2-player game, the scores aren't often varied. Usually people struggle through their first game, but they're not far off from each other, but you definitely make decisions. So I don't know that that's inherently a bad thing, but it really just felt like it doesn't matter which decision I make. Like, if I block you, then you'll block me. If I complete my set, then you'll complete yours. So it just kind of keeps going like that. And there were certain places where I was like, well, there's only this great replayability in terms of you put different tokens out, and they all get shuffled, and there's different spaces on the board. The board is a variable setup. So all that's great for replayability. But you could kind of read the board and be like, well, there's only two blue districts, so if I place next to that, I will now control blue. There are some shovels where you can move things, so they thought of that. But, yeah, again, at the end of the day, I'm not sure that was going to be huge on that front. So, yeah, it was interesting, but I'd give it another play for sure, but I'm not certain that it's going to be anything to write home about for us in the two-player world. All right, that is that one. Sorry, I'm driving and talking. I guess just quickly, talking about exit and unlock games at this point is kind of moot, but we played Exit Orient Express. It was really good. It was a little tough. It was like the end of a long day, and we started at like 9 o'clock, and it took us 2 hours. At the end, you get to like solve the whodunit, and I thought that would be really cool. And it just felt like a toss-up to me. And then when you read the thing, you're like, okay. but again, it was the end of a long day for me. Maybe if I had played this in the afternoon with a group of people, you know, we were really into it. We had some inability to focus with kids waking up a little bit, so that could have been part of it. But I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was one of the better ones in terms of getting all the way through to the end. Solving the puzzle at the end was a little bit trickier and whatnot, but Exit Orient Express was really good, and I have the Sunken Treasure one. We're going to try to play that one with Zephyr. It's supposed to be one of the easier ones, which I don't mind, because it can be fun to like rifle through the puzzles. There's something fun about even, oh, I did that one in 40 minutes, you know? But I definitely recommend Orient Express, and let me know for the end. And then the last game I'll talk about is Galapagos, like Galapagos, but Galapagos. What happens in this game, this is like extremely take that. So this is, you're all cooperatively working to survive on the Galapagos Islands until the food and water run out. And then you have to kill people. And you vote who you're going to kill and take off the island. That's basically it. There's some mechanisms to building rafts. The eventual goal is to build enough rafts for the people left and have double the food and water so that you have like 2 days supply. Everybody takes one food, everybody takes one water. You have enough in the beginning and the supply runs out. You can collect more water. You can harvest fish or fish in general. And people have hand of cards. And then it's just funny. You have cards that are useless. You have cards that are like the gun. And other people have the bullet. And you have to try to convince each other to trade so you can do that. It's real take that. I think this game needs to be 15 or 20 minutes to work at its best. You're just going to get voted because you bought peanut M&Ms and people don't like peanut M&Ms. Like, it's going to be one of those games, but it was fun. It was a ride. We played with like 7 people, and it was funny when it was like, well, I'm going to shoot Brant. And then it's like, well, I'm going to shoot you because you shot Brant. Like, that kind of thing was pretty funny in terms of all that. So I enjoyed the game and whatnot. I would definitely play it again, but know what it is, know what you're getting into for this game. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop there, because I'm almost to the library, and come back with my list of don't miss OK games. We'll finish it up with that. So, thanks everybody. That's what's on my table. Let us know what's on yours. You can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, I am back. It is a couple of days later. Change in plans. Did not get back around to things. Now, I am at the beach. My sister rented a cottage and gave us an opportunity to come down. And I thought it'd be fun to record. So I'm actually walking my way there to do this segment. We'll probably have some waves in the background. So you can put this on and put a nice cold cloth on your head. Kick back, relax. Listen
to the smooth sounds of the Brant, the Portal Gaming Podcast, and the waves crashing on the beach. All right, seriously, I want to talk about these top don't miss okay games. So, as I was saying at the top of the episode here, these are games that they're not incredible, but I wouldn't skip over them just because they didn't get some of the greatest ratings from me or other reviewers or people. I'm sure all of these have somebody that herald them better than I do here, but just to me, these are games that are like, hey, you may have missed this one or not, you know, spent so much time with this, but it's a good solid game. So I think a couple episodes back we talked about Space Base. And I know that's a more recent one, so I want to give you some older ones as well. But both Space Base and Legendary Creatures, to me, kind of fell in this camp. Like, they were solidly great games. They weren't amazing games to me. You know, they're a little bit more on people's radar. I think especially Space Base has kind of been on people's radar. John D. Clare seems to be hitting hitting on all cylinders lately. And people know about these, but these are the kind of games that I'm talking about. They're not going to end up showing up on a top 10 list, I wouldn't imagine, for most people, but they're really fun. A lot of these are probably on the lighter side for me in terms of my taste and what I like, because I tend to be more medium heavy in the games that I'm like, oh, this was epic, this was amazing, you know, this is a phenomenal game, and I pass by the lighter stuff a little bit more. So again, somebody who prefers that lighter game might actually have things on there. Okay, so the first one I'm going to hit, I think I talked about earlier in the episode, this is World's Fair, I think it's 1890-something, 1900-something, I'm not sure what the subtitle is. There, you can hear the waves now, I would imagine. So World's Fair is a game by J. Alex Katvern and from Renegade Games, and it's a really, really solid game. This is one of those games that made me be like, hey, Renegade, what's going on? It's a really simple, I think it's a gateway game. I always wonder, you know, gateway should probably really be 10 or 20 minutes. I was actually playing a game of Istanbul, the dice game, with my sister, and even that time frame with the kids, you know, pulling on us and everything was tricky in terms of all that. So this might be a little bit on the longer side for something along those lines. But to me, it's just a really solid, really fun. This is just that classic, smooth, elegant Euro. I think this game really pulls on that elegant idea, really runs that. So yeah, if you haven't had a chance to play World's Fair, find me, track it down, play it at the Portal. Obviously, if you're not around there, I can't tell you to get a copy because, again, these are okay games, but definitely check this out because it's very, very good. Get a chance to play it. You know, maybe this is one to put on a list if you're going to go to a con or somebody's house or a game day somewhere and you can ask people to play it. Go back. That's going to be all of these, so I'm going to stop. Hey, here's one that's way under the radar, Armageddon. Armageddon from Queen Games. Really a interesting game. It's kind of like this mini auction. That's really interesting. The theme is you're trying to fight off in a post-apocalyptic. You're trying to build back up and fight off gangs that are attacking. And it's got an auction mechanism. But again, a really interesting auction mechanism where you're trying to determine how many actions do you want to have and how soon or what items do you want to get. So it's neat on that front. Armageddon from Queen Games. I didn't write down any designers. So the ones I know, I'm going to tell you, but the others I don't. Did I review Pantheon recently? I think I talked about playing Pantheon, but this is another one of those. This one goes ways back. This is a Hans im Glück game. This is not in print anymore. This is really like that light, medium Euro. This is very much in the Castles of Burgundy vein, you know, that level of difficulty. But a really neat little game of action selection and points and spending cards. It's kind of like a card drafting mechanism. And yeah, that one's really good. I'm hoping these waves don't come out too loud because it's pretty loud down here right now. But so be it. I'm also hoping that the previous thing I recorded is not super loud in the car. So we'll see how that goes. Just fun here. You get to travel with me on the podcast. Trying to, you know, get a couple days doing some other things with family and whatnot before heading out to Gen Con. After that, oh, I should mention, what is the Dice Tower booth? 2835, I think, is the booth that we're going to be at Gen Con. So I will be at the Dice Tower booth. I'll also be outside the hall at the Jack Vassell Memorial Fund booth because Gen Con has selected that as one of the charities for this year. So I'm going to be working both those booths there as well. I think I said this at the top of the podcast. Now that I remember, it's a couple days later, so sorry for the repeat. Okay, moving on. Dream Home. This is a game from Asmodee. I actually think, is this game 2 years old or 1 year old? Anyway, it looks like a kid's game. It's really fun drafting game. It's pretty quick. You play this with gamers, you're probably in like the 20-minute range. But it's got a lot of fun choices that you have to make, and it's got some take that and some like, oh, the cards didn't come out for me. But again, in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. And if you have kids, like, this is a great way to get them into drafting from a row, not like the Sushi Go style drafting. So I think this works really well. But even without kids, I think Dream Home is a really fun, okay game. Again, these aren't games that I'm clamoring about, that I'm trying to replay. They're games that if I saw them, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that game's really fun. Or I may make a stack of them and kind of cruise through them in a day. Or as Zephyr gets older, some of these games are perfect for her to be able to play and themes. All right, throwback hero ways. This is Rune Age. I think this is like a 2010 game. And I think it's Corey Kanitska there. But Rune Age is in the whole Runebound world. Runebound, Rune Wars, Rune whatever, everything else that they have. Tyranoth. And Rune Age was a deck builder. And it was really cool. The deck builder had multiple ways to play. There was a co-op mode. There was a one... I can't remember because now I have the expansion for it as well. But there's four races in the box. There's like a co-op. There's a competitive. There's like a purchasing one where you're not fighting. You're just trying to buy stuff. So it's like the non... It's like the Euro version, the non-aggressive version. I know there's a one versus all, but I think that was in the expansion, as well as they added two other races. So the original one... So it ended up with six races when you had the expansion. Again, I don't know that I would go track this down. This is out of print, so I'm not telling people to go spend $100 for a game like this. It's not worth it. It's an okay game, but it's really fun. Rune Age, I thought, was a great deck builder. There were some things that could be frustrating. The co-op mode was very lucky and whatnot. You roll a die and there's some combat, but it was a cool little game. Zhang Guo from What's Your Game? Now, this one's getting a reprint. So I kind of put this on here. I remember playing this with Kathy and thinking it was okay in the line of What's Your Move, whereas Signoria, Madeira, Nippon, others jump up the list a lot faster for me in terms of interest on there. Zhang Guo didn't jump out, but I did play it at 2, and I know at 3 and 4 people tend to like this a lot more. So definitely check out that Kickstarter. Check it out when we get that in retail. Madeira, to me, is there. You know, amazing game. That is the don't miss this game at all. It's amazing. But again, Madeira runs a lot on the heavier side. Zhang Guo is, once you get it down, it's not too bad, but it's definitely a medium Euro there. So this is probably the longest, biggest game on this, it definitely is, on this list. That was definitely one of those games that, I was trying to go back with some of these games. You know, not anciently back with them, but something in the last 10 years of like, hey, you may have missed this didn't make a list, whatever, haven't heard as much. This one's getting a little more popularity, obviously, because they're going to be doing that Kickstarter. Hocus from Hyperbole Games. This is Grant Rodiak, I know. Hocus is a really cool game. It's like a variant poker game, like Texas Hold'em, and you're trying to make all these... It's really hard to explain. It's very kind of strange and abstract, and takes several hands to get used to, but it's very clever. But again, that learning curve, the learning curve is tough, and I don't think it pays off like a Race for the Galaxy or a Glory to Rome. I know all these games, I'm coming up with games that are better, so if you haven't played some of the ones I've named, I would go to those first. But again, I don't want to pass by these games. But I thought Hocus was very clever, very interesting. I know people can definitely take it or leave it, so who knows. Medina. So Medina is from Stronghold Games. This one's really cool. Once you build, you're building a city with all these wooden pieces, and it looks beautiful in the end. It's still a little bit popular, I think, in terms of that. But again, this is another one of those okay games. It's got that great aesthetic. So if you're looking for a really cool aesthetic game, Medina is definitely there. And there's all these rules on how you can place things, and you're scoring, and you're building cities, and you really do build a really beautiful three-dimensional city in the end. So check out Medina. Treasure Hunter is an excellent okay game. I always have to preference there a little bit. Treasure Hunter's from Queen Games, and I know it's Richard Garfield. It's kind of that step up from Sushi Go when you get tired of Sushi Go. You know, Sushi Go Party's great, but handing Sushi Go Party to people, not a good plan. So much better to hand off Sushi Go, let people just shuffle the deck and go, and learn the scoring. The scoring throws people off all the time in that game when they're just trying to learn. Treasure Hunter's got that next step. It's trying to figure out how to trigger all the cards, but it's really light at the end. But it plays with six, which is awesome. And it's got really good, meaningful decisions, and you can counter draft and draft. It's good. It's a great game even with gamers. Doesn't require anything fancy. Timeline is a phenomenal game. Timeline Challenge is the trivia version, and I really was just like, yes, I'm never going to play Timeline again. I'm going to play Timeline Challenge. And it's totally not true. Timeline is coming out because it's small, because I can do this. We did this last year. What did we do for DevOps Days in Hartford? Brian and I ran like a booth, and it was like one of my favorite things. In like 45 minutes, I taught six games. So I just went with Timeline, sat down with people, said, this is how you play, keep the box, I'll find you later. They're all after hours, you know, at a bar. They were drinking and playing games and everything, and I was able to teach Timeline. Timeline Challenge adds level to it. I believe it's five players, but it's really easy to make two teams. So teams of two are probably better than teams of three. So you could play, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 people. You could probably get away with teams of 3 and be 15. So it will fit a bigger group number. I really like the think, but it probably ups the, like, do you enjoy getting your history wrong and then being corrected and learning from that? There's a lot of people who feel like, I don't know history. I don't care about dates. Dates are irrelevant. Just makes me feel stupid when I'm supposed to know it and other people don't. I don't care about that. Hey, I'm stupid. I probably know a lot of dates, too. I tend to be a little bit of a history buff, so I'm not as worried. I have a rough idea when things happen, so there's that element. But Timeline Challenge is really cool if you want to up it. I feel like it takes a 10-minute, 15-minute game and makes it like 35, 40, but I might be wrong. It might run 60 in terms of that. But again, kind of cool. Like, hey, let's put away Trivial Pursuit. Let's try this. And this is one of those okay games you could play. Again, if you're looking for a party game, I'm talking Codenames. I'm talking Time's Up. I'm talking Magic Maze. I'm talking Mysterium. Like, these are better games, but this is one you might have missed and not realized that you could get those Timeline cards and use any set. So you can find that set that everybody likes and knows and put it into Timeline Challenge. Really good. Dead Man's Draw, I've talked about a lot. When I look at this game, I'm probably thinking, this is probably above okay in my book. I really enjoy this game, but it does get old fast. Like, this is a game that I can pull out anytime, play it. It's super fast. It's super take that. I don't care. I probably would rate this higher than okay for me, but yeah, I'm going to put it on here anyway. So this is from Mayday Games, and it's just a card-flipping, pressure-luck game, score points. Who knows who's going to win? I've seen somebody go from 60 points to 10 points in a round. Another person goes from 10 to 60 points in a round. And it's over, but Dead Man's Draw is a really cool game, so definitely check that one out if you haven't. Okay, London Dread. This is the classic, like, this game is one mechanism short of being phenomenal, but the end game on this is really tough. So London Dread is a great storytelling, cooperative, timed, management, action, pre-programming game from Gray Fox Games, and I played this my first year at Gen Con. The demo was phenomenal. I don't remember what the end game was. Then I picked this game up first thing the following year at Gen Con, played it, and the ending is just like a really hard dice roll. And it's really hard to mitigate that dice roll and let things happen, and that was really kind of a letdown. And it really was hard for people to keep playing this game because that ending was tough. And I don't know if there's a different one. I kept meaning to email the designers and be like, is this what we did? Is this how it always ended? Or does anybody have an alternate way I could play? But I just couldn't keep it on the table. But if you can get over that, if you don't care, if you're into that Eldritch horror, you know, Elder Sign, just like, we're going to roll the dice and it may go against us and who cares, cooperative game. I even think of like Space Hulk, Death Angel, and I love these games are hard, but if you can get over this ending dice roll, I think you can thoroughly enjoy this game. And if you like you know, that Sherlock Holmes, Victorian England murder mystery, a lot of blood and gore. Is it gore? Is it gory? It's bloody. I don't know if it's super gory. You know, there's like cultists and all that kind of stuff. If you're into that theme, man, this game is just going to rock for you. And then that last dice roll will be like, ah, we didn't do it, or hey, we did it. And this will probably be a great game for you. I would love to find a group that would play this game and replay this game with me, because I really enjoyed it right until that moment. So there's that. Hey, and then the final one, I am going to do a huge throwback. Careers from Parker Brothers. This is a game from the 70s, I believe. Careers is excellent. And I know that there's been games that have done this, where you choose your win conditions. But if you haven't played Careers, you really should play it. I guess I'm putting this in the okay category when I actually think it's a great game, because it's like a mass market Parker Brothers game. So that kind of just like, eh, you know, that's how it is. I don't even know if they sell Careers anymore. But what's so cool in Careers is you have 60 points you have to allocate to thousands of dollars, amount of fame, and amount of happiness. And I can make it, I want 60 happiness, no fame, no money. And I can make that mine, and it's a secret goal. Or I can do 20, 20, 20. The 20 bucks is actually $20,000 in terms of that. And then you need to acquire all these things throughout the game. And you go through, you can go to college and you can get a degree. And it's a roll and move game. But there's a lot of cards that mitigate that. It's interesting for such an older, 50 years old, 45 years old this game is. There's a lot of mitigation of things in terms of all that. I'm going to slowly walk away from the beach here, and that sound will fade out as we're finishing up the episode. but this game's really neat, because you'll just get cards that say, oh, just move to this space. You can go to big business, you can go into space, you can go into sports, you can go into medicine. Obviously it's Careers, right? You could pick all these different things. You can go to Vegas and gamble and win money. You can gain fame by doing things. And it's a really solid game. I've had a lot of fun with this game. Consider playing this game more. Really enjoy it a whole bunch. So that is Careers from Parker Brothers. And definitely check out those games. Those are some don't miss okay games. Again, if you missed them, your life would go on. You'd be fine. Don't go seek them out for 50s and hundreds of dollars or whatever. Some of them are probably still $50, and that's fine. That's what they're worth. But you know, if somebody's playing these or you want to check them out, you're just looking for those older games. I'm not saying like this is a game you need to go back and play, but I definitely would go back and play them. I wouldn't ignore them. They are super fun. So yeah, that's going to bring this episode to a wrap. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully the sound on this was fun and exciting and not horrible and crazy, because I think it's just kind of fun to do different things rather than just sit in my house talking to you all the time. So there's that. Thanks, everybody, for listening to episode 95. I'm not sure what's going to happen with 96. I'm going to try to sneak an episode. It's really up in the air. Will it be a Brian Kathy Brandt? Will it be a Gen Con preview with Gary and Larry? Will it be me all by myself trying to throw something together before we head out to Gen Con? Will we skip the week altogether and bring you a Gen Con post breakdown? That will definitely happen. So 96, maybe that one. That might be 97. And then I'm going to try to record a bunch of people at Gen Con as well. Throw together a bunch of Dice Tower contributors and other interviews and things at Gen Con. But I'm limited on my time there, so I don't want to promise anything too fancy on that front. So that is it. Thank you, everybody. I am your host, The Brent. And until next time, I hope you step into the portal.